My grandfather Jim seldom speaks or answers the phone, so it was fitting that it was he who answered when the con artist called. The voice was shaking, he could barely hear it, even on my grandparents' amplified landline. The voice claimed to be me, his grandson, and was allegedly calling from a Mexican prison after being arrested for a serious drug offense. It begged my grandfather to wire $3,000 to a bank account for bail. My grandfather got the routing number and hung up. He paused. I've never called my grandfather for help. We rarely talk on the phone. When we do, usually at the urging of my mom, he'll ask a few stock questions and then pass the phone to my grandmother. I've never really known what he thinks of me. His practiced silence is a fixture at Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners at my grandparents' Kansas City home. No one questions it. While aunts and uncles sip wine and gossip, and while little cousins shoot Nerf guns and chase miniature dachshunds under tables, he's content to sit and watch. He presides over family gatherings like a peaceful mafia don from his faded blue Lazy Boy. It's next to a wooden case that boasts his double-barrel shotguns, rifles, and dozens of bird calls. Things that, unlike him, make lots of noise. He's not mute. Sometimes he'll punctuate his silence with quick, biting jokes that only a big, aged Kansas man like himself could land. But it's rare. It's as if now, at 83, his Midwestern reserve is peaking after years of aging, like the Kentucky bourbon in his pantry. So as my grandfather answered the phone that Tuesday morning, I was 150 miles away in my Columbia apartment watching TV and eating Frosted Flakes on my couch. My mom called. "What the hell is going on? Where are you?" "What? Are you in jail? What is going on?" "Settle down. I'm eating cereal on my couch." I knew she had nothing on me. After my grandfather had hung up with the con man, he paused. The story was absurd. A Mexican prison is surely out of my league. But to his credit, my grandfather wasn't sure. He mulled over his options. He could wire the money. He could call someone else for advice. He could do nothing. Or he could call my mom, an act that would throw her into a simulation of her second-to-worst nightmare. After 20 minutes of trying to figure out how Google works, my grandfather was at the FBI's website. It said con artists had been pulling the scam on the elderly for years. He tried to call me, but he didn't have my phone number. He called my mom instead. She, unconvinced of my innocence, called me in a panic. After a minute of expletives and pointless yelling, I hung up on her and called my grandfather. I asked him what happened. He said he was about to wire the money, but something stopped him. The voice was funny. I asked why he didn't call my parents first. He said something like, "I figured you called me for help, not them." Now I have my grandpa's number saved on my phone. I know that as long as he's around, I can call him if I ever catch some heat in Mexico. Or I can just call and answer a few stock questions before he passes the phone.